10.
They come to the wire, and Ali Sheba, America's horse, has done it.
9.
This is unbelievable. Zenyatta, what a performance, one we'll never forget.
8.
Wise Dan's got him. Wise Dan, brilliant in the mile.
7.
But there is absolutely no stopping Songbird. It is all Songbird. Mike Smith aboard, crushing the field.
6.
And Coach Zephyr is pulling away impressively.
5.
Mucho Macho Man, the more they ask, the more he gave.
4.
And it's a vintage performance by Vino Rosso in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
3.
Here is our king to win it in an absolute shocker. He's 99-1.
2.
He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a Grand Slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
1.
Arrowgate still coming. California Chrome. Arrowgate steals the show in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown on HRRN. Now let's go live to our HRRN studios and join host Bobby Newman.
And a good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Breeders' Cup Countdown here on HRRN, part of WinStar Week, all week on the network. Bobby Newman along with Jude Feld. We are covering the Breeders' Cup, which is now, believe it or not, just 3 days away. Future Stars Friday this Friday, 3 days from now, rather, actually, 2 days away. 2 days away to Jude, it is creeping up on us faster than we expect. 2 days to the Juveniles run on Friday, 3 days to the big Saturday card. Welcome to the program. We have got a full program once again today. And Jude, let's start with what's going on at Keeneland and in Kentucky right now. First of all, the weather a little warmer today than this time yesterday. It's still in the high 40s in the morning, but it's going to creep closer to 70 degrees by the time the afternoon rolls around, and they are looking at sunny skies basically throughout the week. Temperatures nearing 70 on Friday, maybe in the low 70s on Saturday. Really perfect conditions for all the horses running in the Breeders' Cup Championship races, my friend.
Yeah, it's supposed to be just glorious here, and we've had a nice week so far. This morning when I left the house, it was 41 degrees, and I'm driving down the road and I see this old gal to the left. She's on her morning walk and she's wearing like lilac colored shorts and a coral colored top, like she was in Florida or something. And I'm going, she must be freezing. It was blue skies and sun was out. So I guess she was just enjoying the coolness of it all. But beautiful here. It's supposed to be a little cloudy tomorrow, but that's supposed to be the only blot on the weather during the week. And then Friday and Saturday, supposed to be perfect days. Really looking forward to it. I'm getting excited.
Yeah, cloudy tomorrow, but no rain expected tomorrow. Just some clouds. And you speak of the lady walking down the street in Florida where I live. If it were high 40s in Florida, people would think the world is coming to an end. So yeah. that's the difference between mornings in Kentucky and mornings in Florida, probably about 30 or 40 degrees. But we've got a power-packed lineup once again today here on the program. We had a great show yesterday. Today on the show, jockey Joe Talamo will join us. He's got three huge mounts in the Breeders' Cup races. Girl Daddy on Friday, then both Intimistic and Ivor, who is kind of a surprising morning line favorite or one of the favorites in the Breeders' Cup mile this year. Ivor was a horse that many of us hadn't even heard of until maybe 2 months ago, and he just burst on the scene, and he is one of the ones in the Breeders' Cup mile this year. Trainer Peter Miller will join us today as well. He also has three runners in this year's Breeders' Cup, Ebico, Texas Wedge, and CZ Rocket. Unfortunately, I think the horse that Pete would have had his best chance with this year, Mo Forza, did not make the race. He probably would have been one of the ones in the Breeders' Cup mile. He is super impressive in Southern California. Came down with a little bit of an injury, nothing life-threatening, in fact, nothing career-threatening. sounded like they're looking forward to having him back in training next year, and we'll get to talk to him about his Breeders' Cup runners and Mo Forza when he's on. Acacia Courtney will be with us each morning right around 9:40 a.m. She is on the grounds at Keeneland, and she's got her eyes and ears open, and she is seeing everything that's happening with these Breeders' Cup runners as they get their final preparations in for the big days Friday and Saturday. All the works are in, but she's getting to see these runners on the track, and especially how some of the European runners are acclimating to the United States and to being in Lexington, most of them for the first time in their careers. Walker Hancock, who's the president of Claiborne Farm, he will also join us this morning. They've got their stallions represented by three runners on Friday, including Plum Alley in the Juvenile Phillies Turf. Five runners representing their stallions on Saturday, including Halliday in the mile and War of Will in the dirt mile. And what's intriguing about that is that not only is War of Will representing them with his stallion, being by one of their stallions, but War of Will actually join the Claiborne Stallion roster next year in 2021. So they're going to be really, really interested to see how War of Will does. Not that everyone else won't be interested, but War of Will, obviously already a classic winner in this country. If you could be a Preakness winner and a Breeders' Cup winner, I would imagine that would help the stud fee tremendously, Jude.
Yeah, absolutely. But he's already done enough. He's a beautiful horse. He's got tons of ability. He's shown it on the racetrack, so turf and dirt now. So very versatile. Lots of things to like about War of Will.
In addition, we mentioned at the top of the show that this is actually WinStar Week here on the network. All week on HRRN, we will be celebrating all things WinStar. We're actually going to speak to the president of WinStar Farm, Elliot Walden, tomorrow morning on the Breeders' Cup Countdown. But they've got something going this year that I'm not sure we've ever had yet, Jude, with the Breeders' Cup. Three runners in this year's Breeders' Cup Classic, Improbable, Tom's D'Etat, Global Campaign, all will join the WinStar Stallion roster for 2021. Not only that, their stallions are phenomenal. Aside from those three who are on the horizon, Spitestown, Fed Biz, Distorted Humor, Constitution, who of course is the sire of Tis the Law, Take Charge Entity, Tis Now was there. He's just recently been pensioned. Just a who's who on the stallion roster, not only currently, but starting next year at WinStar. And I don't know which horses they follow more in that race. They are the part owners of Improbable, and they're involved with Global Campaign. Tom's D'Etat joining their roster next year, but do they watch Improbable a little bit closer just because of the ownership, Jude?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think it. It's not going to matter till they come down the lane and see who's in front, and they'll be cheering for that horse. When you have several horses in a race, you kind of have to have your eyes on all of them. So they'll be paying attention. There's no doubt about it. And but whichever one does well, they'll be thrilled with. If they all do well, that'd be great. I'm sure they'd like to have a 1-2-3 finish like Charlie Whittingham in the Hollywood Gold Cup or something, so they could use that for an advertisement later on. But I don't think it really matters necessarily which one. They're rooting for all of them.
I wonder if they go to bed tomorrow night with the dream of Global Campaign in front by five at the top of the stretch, with Improbable and Tom's D'Etat closing and everyone else kind of floundering behind them, and those three just separating from the field. Probably not going to happen that way. There are way too many other really, really good runners in that race, but those three are certainly three that have big chances in the Breeders' Cup Classic on Saturday, and WinStar will be watching. Speaking of big horses, Fasic Tipton's got a big sale this Sunday. Yes, the day after the Breeders' Cup, and you can see all about it at FasicTipton.com. Nine of the runners in this year's Breeders' Cup races will actually be in the sale the very next day. In the Midst of Biz, Sally's Curlin', Got Stormy, Into Mystic, Uni, Monomoy Girl, Point of Honor, Valiance, and Rushing Fall. That's right. Any of those nine runners, the public has the chance to buy them the day after they run in the Breeders' Cup. I would make sure that you have plenty of money in your checking account if you show up for any of those runners. It's really a fantastic sale. You can see all about it on their website, phasictipton.com. All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, Ed DeRosa from Bloodstock Research and TwinSpires.com will join us. We'll talk a little handicapping this year's Breeders' Cup. You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on HRRN.
Bolt Doro, America's fastest multiple Grade 1 winning juvenile since Uncle Mo. Bolt Doro scored dominating victories in the Grade 1 Del Mar Futurity and Grade 1 Frontrunner Stakes, earning a 103 buyer speed figure, the fastest by a two-year-old since 2014.
We're witnessing the emergence of a star as Bolt Doro treats his rivals to a comprehensive walloping in the Frontrunner.
Bolt Doro's first weanlings are electric. Look for them next week at Keeneland and Phasic Tipton. Bolt Doro, standing at Spendthrift Farm.
What do these Breeders' Cup starters have in common? Swiss Skydiver, Tom's Daytaw, By My Standards, Serengeti Empress, CeCe, Improbable, Frank's Raquette, Ollie's Candy, Venetian Harbor, CZ Rocket, and Pirate's Punch. They all started at Oaklawn in 2020. Make plans now to join us for the richest winter race meet in the country from January 22nd to May 1st. Stall applications are now available at oaklawn.com. Oaklawn, a new level of racing.
Get to know the men and women who make this sport go on Trainer Talk, presented by Phasic Tipton. Mike Pena sits down with Hall of Famers, up-and-comers, and everyone in between with an intimate conversation that goes beyond the X's and O's. Hear their stories every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 219 XM 201 or streaming live at horseracingradio.net. It's the show that trainers listen to. Trainer Talk, presented by Phasic Tipton, only on HRRN.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to exclusive coverage of Breeders' Cup Challenge Day, presented by Breeders' Cup on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
On the inside, Wild again is game, and he's holding on to the lead by a head. Slew of Gold is right at his neck. Here comes Gate Dancer on the outside. They're in the final furlong. Wild again, desperately holding on to the lead. Slew of Gold is right there in between horses. Gate Dancer on the outside. What a finish. Wild again, Gate Dancer, Slew of Gold in between them. Those three in a dramatic finish. And here's the wire. Wild again does it. I believe it was Wild again, an upset winner. Gate Dancer was right there. Really was a bit too close to call. But the big horse, Slew of Gold, was defeated today. He was third.
Tom Durkin on the call of the very first Breeders' Cup Classic 1984 held at Hollywood Park, a three-way driving finish, and the long shot, Vincent Timpany trained Wild again, gets the win. Pat Day aboard, narrowly defeating both Gate Dancer and Slew of Gold. Slew of Gold was the heavy favorite going into the race, and Wild again and Gate Dancer kind of had a Slew of Gold sandwich down the lane there. You think the inquiry in last year's Kentucky Derby was long. The one for the Breeders' Cup Classic in 1984 seemed like it took an hour and a half. It obviously didn't take that long, Jude, but that was a phenomenal race, and there was a lot of squeezing and bumping, and when all was said and done, the long shot winner, Wild again, was left up for the win.
Yeah, that was something else, and I was lucky enough to be friends with Vince Timpany after that race. We were stabled together for a little while at Hollywood Park, and I got to meet him and got to be friends with his wife Scarlett and his son JJ. And every time you'd go to Vincent's house for dinner, which was quite often because he used to own restaurants in New Orleans, you would watch Wild again on a loop on the television. It was never off the TV for years. I've seen that race probably more than any single race in the history of horse racing. I've seen that race a lot. So,
and in those very familiar pink and black polka dotted silks that Wild again carried. Well, in the corniest segue in the history of radio, speaking of classics, We're now joined by Ed DeRosa from Bloodstock Research and TwinSpires.com. Ed, I know that we are really close to a day that, well, it seems like Christmas for a lot of us horse players.
Yeah, we've been waiting for a big day like this. Fortunate to have Derby and Preakness later in the year, I guess. But just something about stacking those grade ones, 22 races over 2 days, and obviously culminating in a classic that should decide horse of the year.
So let's get into it. You know, there hasn't been any huge news in the last few days, which is, for the most part, is good. We did have one juvenile filly who was disallowed entry because of a pre-entry positive test that came up. She would have been a long shot in the juvenile fillies. But with the post-draw that took place on Monday, was there anything that really stood out to you, really good or really bad, as far as handicapping-wise? You know, something you're going to take into account. I really didn't like the post that this horse got, or I really think this horse drew well.
I try not to overthink posts too much, only because the races are so competitive. There usually isn't that, if you were talking about an 8-horse field with an obvious favorite, and maybe there's a post you wouldn't want, but when you get up into 12, 14 horses where there's a lot of different opinions, I think the post doesn't get baked in as much to the price, and it doesn't bother me. Now, I will say, just in general, the rail was 0 for October at both 6 furlongs and the dirt mile distance at Keeneland, which 6 furlongs is 1 turn and the mile's 2. But when I look back to previous meets, it was fine. So, the question is, well, is this going to be the same surface? What have they done, between the meet and now Breeders' Cup? So even that, to me, is something that kind of gets mitigated because you don't know. But obviously we'll be watching Friday for some clues into Saturday. I am an art collector fan, so I had to pick one post that, maybe disappointed me, it'd be the rail there in the big field. But there does appear to be some speed to go with Nick Sko, and, maybe Brian just gets the shortest way around, and he'll need to find a seam late. But if he does, I don't see the rail as an issue.
Aren't the 1-2-3 posts traditionally the best posts in the mile race at Keeneland?
Yeah, and that's what I was I saw, over 10 in October, and, there were a couple favorites there, so it wasn't like it just happened to be, horses that make sense that you wouldn't get even a winner. But then, looking back to, the previous years, they started that distance, I believe, in 2015 when, they knew the dirt mile was going to be there for the Breeders' Cup. And, absolutely. Now, the caveat there, I would say, is the average field size is in the 8 range, and now we're dealing with a 14-horse field. So that's definitely a different dynamic. But it's just hard for me to see a horse that we've seen win on the front end and at Keeneland win right off with Skydiver having too much of an issue because he's shown some tractability. So short-term, it is something I noticed. But like you pointed out, Jude, the longer-term trend seems not to worry about it.
Speaking with Ed DeRosa from Twin Spires and Bloodstock Research, let's start with Future Stars Friday, 5 races for the 2-year-olds. Probably the shortest price of any of the Breeders' Cup races will be the Jackie's Warrior in the juvenile. The other 4 juvenile races look like they're wide open. What are your sum of thoughts on how you're planning to attack the card on Friday?
Yeah, the races going into the juvenile are definitely, to me, some of the most competitive of the 2 days in general. Haven't done all the work on the international contenders. It's a cheap plug here, but I'm going to be relying on Kelly Riley, my colleague at Bristnet. She put together a international scouting report, so that's going to be an important piece of my puzzle. I will say I'm against Princess Noor. I'm just going to trust the numbers that say she's not as fast as some of these. Maybe the class is there and we just haven't seen the speed in number form. But I'm happy to bet against that at a short price. And by far my best bet of Friday is Essential Quality in the juvenile. I'm in a single, looking to upset Jackie's Warrior. Went over the track. I just think Brad Cox is loaded. My other big single is Bonomoy Girl on Saturday, which will be a shorter price. So from a best bet standpoint, essential quality, I mean, it might be my best bet of the weekend because I know he's not going to be favored.
Yeah, you can guarantee that. Jackie's Warrior is going to take a lot of money.
Yeah, I wish I had the kind of money that I could say I'll make him favored, but my pocket's not that deep.
Well, just because you love a horse doesn't necessarily mean they're a good bet, right?
Yeah. That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
I mean, Monomoy Girl might be a perfect example of that. I mean, I think she's going to be a lot of people's single, so I need to decide just how exposed I want to be, recognizing that, you know, that's a good field with Skydiver. I think Monomoy Girl is the most likely winner, but odds on might be an underlay.
Well, I don't think she's going to be odds on. I think there's going to be a lot of Swiss Skydiver money in there.
Okay.
And I actually thought Horologist was the one that Monomoy Girl really had to worry about the most, and she's a little bit more of a price. But getting back to the Friday card, so if you're playing, there is a pick five covering all five of the Breeders' Cup races on Future Stars Friday, and if you single essential quality in the juvenile and you're beating, you know, most likely the shortest price favorite of the weekend in the Breeders' Cup races with Jackie's Warrior, it kind of allows you to spread in those other races, and even if you don't get lucky and hit a $40 horse in one of them, the pick five just beating Jackie's Warrior should be pretty nice.
Yeah, no, and, you know, I think a lot of people with those Euro races, you know, especially with maybe if they, whether they're singling Jackie's Warrior or another horse or Princess Noor, they punt and they just take them all, or that, you know, they go deeper than is maybe needed, or at least based on their opinion. So I'm hoping I can find a couple strong opinions and just sort of do the AB structure where, you know, I don't have to be dead right in the other races. I'll have to be right on the central quality, but, you know, have three or four sub key horses, as I call them. And then need to be right, you know, two out of three times that I take a stand instead of just the one with a central quality. But definitely a pool I'm keen to be in with the against the favorite single.
Looking at the Saturday card, Ed, we have a Breeders' Cup Classic this year that not only is wide open, but there's just wall-to-wall superstars and really, really talented runners. There's also a lot of speed in this year's Breeders' Cup Classic, which we don't see every year. How do you see that race playing out?
I definitely think with the Baffert Vanguard, he has to have instructions. I mean, he has the three that could all be on the lead if he chooses. And they've all ran to me admirably in their last race, only Improbable getting the win with Authentic and Maximum Security behind others. But to me, you know, it's sort of like a Chad race on the turf, except Bob has the hand to play and gets to, you know, play his card first. So, you know, that's an advantage for, I think, whatever horse he thinks it sets up for best. I'm going to try to take on Bob, though. You know, Tom's Detat certainly, you know, had the look of maybe the Breeders' Cup Classic favorite, and he stumbled and still finished, you know, well behind Improbable in the, was that the Whitney? And, you know, to me, we're just getting a much better price on a horse we know has the talent to maybe even have been favored in this race. By my standards, is the price horse I'm looking to play. He runs his race. I love what I saw on Derby Day or Oaks Day. And mile and a quarter is the question, but I think we're getting the right price to find out. And then Tis the Law, sort of similar to me to Tom's Detat, just, you know, maybe the shine's a little off. People love ones, especially on big days. The more casual players are going to see the Lost Authentic. I definitely think that adds a point or so to his price, which makes him playable. So I'm just looking to use Tom's Detat, Tis the Law, by my standards.
Okay, so taking a shot against the Bob Baffert trio, and it's one of those races that if you're right, you're going to get paid, because I don't think anybody is going to be heavily favored. I know Improbable's favored on the morning line, and Tis the Law is the second choice. Can't really see either of them being overwhelmingly bet, you know, much lower than their morning lines. There are too many good horses in that race, and if you have a strong opinion, you're going to get paid. Ed, before we let you go, we love the betting platform at Twin Spires. What's going on over there? What do they have going for the Breeders' Cup?
Our biggest promotion, but one I'm excited about is our place jackpot, which you get, you share in a pool just for making a place bet on all the Breeders' Cup races. If you hit a certain number of them, six, on Friday and Saturday, then you share in another pool, which is $5,000. And if you sweep the card with place wagers, you get $10,000, and that rolls into the next day. So if no one does it Friday, $20,000 up for grabs Saturday. No one does it Saturday, we're going to have a mandatory payout on Churchill's card Sunday, which should spice things up there. So a lot of money on the line just for picking a few horses to place.
All the details right there on the website, twinspires.com.
Flash offers.
All right, Ed DeRosa from Bloodstock Research and Twin Spires. Thanks for joining us this morning, Ed. I will be thinking of you as well as thinking of myself if Essential Quality gets the job done on Friday. Wishing you the best of luck, my friend.
Yeah, I'm leaving no doubt. It's my best bet single of the weekend.
All right, Ed. Wishing the best. Well, we're wishing all of us the best. Mostly us, but you as well. Let's be honest. When you're in this game to bet, it's a me game. I mean, it'd be nice if everyone won, but then parimutuel wagering wouldn't exist. That's not how parimutuel wagering works. But Ed, obviously, we love Ed. He's a great guy. He's got great opinions, and he loves Essential Quality on Friday in the Breeders' Cup. Juvenile Ed DeRosa from Twin Spires and Bloodstock Research. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to jockey Joe Talamo. He's got three big mounts in the Breeders' Cup races this weekend. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Consistently versatile, with 19 Grade 1 winners on every surface, from 6 furlongs to 1.25 miles, all over the world. 3 new Grade 1 winners in 2020.
Echo Town wins the Allen Turkey Stakes.
And Lady Spike Spear has gone on to win the Natalba by 3/4, Alda.
All purpose, all places, all power, Spike's Town.
Standing at Windstar Farm. Twin Spires is the best place to bet every Breeders' Cup race, and we have a fantastic bet back offer. Head to twinspires.com or the Twin Spires app, opt in with the code HRRNBC, and get up to $20 back if the horse you bet to win finishes second, and up to $10 back if the horse you bet to win finishes third on all Breeders' Cup races. That's right, get your bet back if you run second or third. Twin Spires, the official betting partner of the Kentucky Derby. Additional terms apply to bonus. Must be 18 plus or legal wagering age. Void where prohibited. See twinspires.com for details. Terms and conditions apply. Wager responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Adina Spring Stallion Mucho Macho Man. Tough, sound, durable. A stakes winner at 3, 4, 5, and 6 who competed in all 3 Triple Crown races before turning 3 years old and capped a stellar career with a determined victory in the Breeders' Cup Classic over champions Will Take Charge and Declaration of War.
Mucho Macho Man has the lead close to home! Mucho Macho Man, Declaration of War! Will Take Charge, a final man! Mucho! Macho Man! He did it over Will Take Charge!
Mucho Macho Man has produced 2 first crop grade 1 winners, one on dirt.
Mucho Gusto in the Pegasus World Cup! He won it by 5 lengths!
And one on turf.
And the California bred Mucho Unusual all the way in the Rodeo Drive.
The number one North American sire by 2020 average earnings per runner is Mucho Macho Man, standing at Adina Springs.
The championship season returns to Gulfstream Park this December. Thoroughbred stakes action returns with the claiming crown, the Fort Lauderdale, the Grade 1 $3 million Pegasus World Cup, the Fountain of Youth Stakes, the Grade 1 Florida Derby, and much, much more. Stay in on the action from the comfort of your mobile phone with the First Bet app, the official app of Gulfstream Park. First Bet offers AI-predicted picks, high-definition live stream races, replays, live betting from the palm of your hand.
Hey everyone, this is Mike Penna, the Baron of the Backstretch. Join me every Saturday morning from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern on the Equine Forum. Each week, I'll bring you interviews with the biggest names in racing as I take you inside the world of thoroughbred racing and breeding and discuss the sport's hottest topics. So make plans to join me every Saturday morning from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern. It's the Equine Forum on Sirius 219, XM 201, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to exclusive coverage of Breeders' Cup Challenge Day, presented by Breeders' Cup on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They come home and California Flag's going away from them. California Flag opens up. Can he keep going now? Delta Straw coming home. Gamely Cannonball down the center of the track. Got to have her running late, but it's all California Flag. California Flag, Joe Talamo in the ride of his life, in the race of his life. California Flag has won it. The Philly got to have her a huge second. Cannonball ran on for third, and Delta Storm a creditable fourth.
Trevor Denman on the call of the 2009 Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, won in very impressive fashion by California Flag. Welcome back to Breeders' Cup Countdown on HRRN, part of Windstar Week, all week here on the network. Bobby Newman along with Drew Feld, and we're pleased to be joined now by the gentleman who rode California Flag to victory that year, Joe Talamo. Joe, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Joe, is that a race? Now, Jude mentioned earlier that trainer Vince Timpany, who won the initial Breeders' Cup Classic in 1984 with Longshot Wild Again, would play that race on a loop, and you'd basically be drowned in hearing that over and over when we're at Vince's place. Is this something if we go to the Talamo household, we are going to hear the replay of California Flag winning the turf sprint from 2009 over and over again?
No, not really. But I tell you what, it never gets old hearing that. That was a pretty exciting day.
Well, Joe's riding three. You got three runners in the Breeders' Cup races this year. Girl Daddy in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Friday. Both Intimistic and Ivor set to go on turf races on Saturday. Let's start with Girl Daddy on Friday. This is a filly who has done absolutely zero wrong thus far in her career. She's undefeated coming into the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, an impressive maiden win when you were aboard sprinting at Ellis Park, where she came from just off the pace to win very easily. Came back in the Grade 3 Pocahontas, the one-turn mile at Churchill. Got another trip from just off the pace. One going away a super fast time that day, 1:34.4 for the mile, beating the favored Crazy Beautiful that afternoon by two lengths. She's now facing some fillies that she hasn't faced before and possibly tougher fillies than what she's seen thus far. Simply Ravishing, V-Quist, Day Out of the Office, some of the ones that Girl Daddy will have to beat on Friday to get the lion's share of the money. What are your impressions thus far of Girl Daddy from what you've seen, and how do you like her going into Friday's race?
I tell you what, training-wise, she couldn't be training any better. Really, from her first start till now, I've pretty much worked her every week. And I tell you what, she's gotten better and better from her maiden win and then from the Pocahontas win. She doesn't act like a two-year-old filly. She acts like a older mare that's pretty seasoned, which is pretty remarkable that she's only raced two times. But I'm really confident in her. I think she's going to show a really big effort. Obviously, I mean, it's only a 7-horse field, but you can make a case for any one of those fillies in there. I mean, it's definitely a lot of high quality in there, but you know, for a race like that, it should be.
You know, we were talking to Brian Hernandez yesterday about going out in the morning and working horses, and I know you're a hardworking guy too. You like to get out there and learn the horses and talk to the trainers and stuff. That's got to be a great feeling when you get on a filly all the time and you can just feel her underneath you get better and better.
Oh, absolutely. And again, even when I rode her first time out, we knew she could run and had a lot of talent. And, you know, it helps. It definitely makes you ride with a lot more confidence as well, just knowing that you what kind of horse you have underneath you. And that's really my favorite part with young horses like that, getting on them early. It's almost like a kid. You can see their development. And again, with her, from her first start till now, it's been tremendous how good she's gotten. And to be honest, I don't think we've seen the best of her yet, which is pretty amazing. So it's definitely definitely looking for a big effort from her on Friday.
She's bred to go long, being by Uncle Mo out of an unbridled song mare, but she hasn't been two turns yet, whereas several of the fillies she'll be facing have already had experience trying two turns. Is there any way to know or to really have a good guess as to whether, you know, horses or fillies will handle two turns well if you haven't done it? You know, Girl Daddy certainly looks like she wants more distance, but you never know until you try.
Yeah, absolutely. For one thing, in her workouts, I mean, she's been working really well, but her gallop outs have been really, really good. I mean, they only show half miles and 5/8, but she's been galloping out, you know, 7/8 up to a mile. So fitness-wise, she couldn't be any fitter. And then in a Pocahontas, I mean, it's not like she was slowing down or getting tired. I mean, even after the wire, I still had, you know, plenty left there, and she galloped out accordingly as well. So especially it's just an extra 16. I really don't see that being a problem. If anything, I think the further the better with her, because she's not a real big filly, but boy, she's got a stride out of this world. And again, she just gets better as the race gets longer. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Speaking with Joe Talamo, jockey who rides three Breeders' Cup races this coming weekend, Girl Daddy Friday, and then two big turf races on Saturday, Intimistic and the Turf Sprint. Ivor, who's going to be one of the favorites in the mile, go to Intimistic, a filly who's going to be facing the boys, I believe, for the first time in her career. But boy, is she in good form right now. Last time out, narrowly defeated by Got Stormy at Keeneland, going the 5.5 furlong distance, same distance that she'll be running this Friday. Intimistic, you've been aboard her each of her three starts in Kentucky, one at Ellis Park, one at Kentucky Down, and one at Keeneland. All three of those races, the turf course was not firm. It was either good or rated soft. She's probably going to get a firm turf course on Friday. Do you think that affects anything, and how do you like how Intimistic is heading into this big race?
Again, I know she's doing really well, Brendan was saying, and I know he wouldn't have entered her in here if she wasn't doing good. And if anything, I think the firm turf is going to help her, if anything. Because, again, like you said, every time she's run, it's been pretty soft, and she's one of those fillies. She lays it down and tries really hard, and that was a brutal beat last time. I mean, she did everything she could to win, but I mean, obviously, Got Storm is a heck of a mare that beat her. But and that more than anything, I think that distance is really perfect for her. She ran a pretty good race at Kentucky Downs, but I think that 6.5 might have been just a touch too far. But anywhere. 5.5, 6 furlongs, I think, is right up her alley. So I think, again, if she runs that last race, I think a big effort like that, I think she'll be right there.
She's got some zip. I mean, she beat Quarter Horses by 5 lengths at Los Alamitos. You don't see that every day.
No, not at all. Yeah, she's a pretty quick filly. And, again, she's gotten over to soft turf actually pretty well. So, again, if it's firm, I think that can – that's only going to help her chances, I would imagine.
And then you're going to ride Ivor in the Breeders' Cup Mile this year, and Ivor has kind of come out of nowhere as far as contenders for the mile. I would say that as recently as early part of June, people in this country hadn't even heard of Ivor. You were aboard when he won impressively in an allowance race at Churchill in wire-to-wire fashion. He ran well in the Tourist Mile at Kentucky Downs after that. Then Paulo Lobo took the blinkers off last time out for the Shadwell Turf Mile at Keeneland, going the 1 mile distance, sent off 14-1. And you come from off the pace to get the win, defeating Raging Bull and Without Parole. And lo and behold, all of a sudden, Ivor is 4-1 and could be favored in this year's Breeders' Cup Mile. Where in the heck did this come from, Joe?
Yeah, he's a boy, what a horse he is. That race at Churchill was pretty impressive. I mean, obviously he had some easy fractions that day. But to me, I mean, before the Shadwell, that race at Kentucky Downs impressed me a lot, because he broke in front that day, and he was a horse that's outside kind of pressed him the whole way, so he never did really get a breather. To be honest, I was surprised he hung around for third. They really, I mean, they went 44-3 for a mile, which is that's pretty quick fraction. And boy, he hung around and fought hard. So that impressed me a lot. And then Paulo took the blinkers off, helped settle him down. And boy, did that pay dividends in the Shadwell. I mean, I don't think he could have run a more impressive race that day. And again, if he copies that effort, he's going to be awfully tough to beat. You know, pretty solid field a mile this year. They got some really, really nice horses in there. But, you know, it's going to be one of them races. We just have to try and work out a good trip. But if we have clear sailing turning for home, I think if he shows that next effort, he's going to be awfully tough.
He's got a fantastic record. I mean, he was 3-for-3 in Argentina. And, you know, he's, 2-for-4 here. 5-of-7 lifetime. I mean, you know, it was amazing that he actually paid so much in the Shadwell Turf Mile. But I guess because, you know, a lot of times American horse players don't pay attention to foreign racing. But, man, he's got a hell of a record, and he's got a nice pedigree. And Paulo Lobo is a very good trainer. I mean, he's not a household word, but he does a really good job. He knows horses and has had a lot of success over the years. So there's a lot of things to like about Ivar.
Oh, absolutely. And again, going back to Paulo, I've actually had a lot of success in California with him when he was training out there and myself riding out there as well. And a really, really good horseman. And he believe me, he knows his horses pretty well. I remember when I first rode him at Churchill, he thought very, very highly of him. And believe me, his efforts so far, I don't think have surprised him at all, because I all along he's known that he's had that in him.
Well, Joe, as somebody who's from Southern California, and Jude Feld spent a lot of time out there, we loved watching you ride for many, many years out on the Southern California circuit, but happy to see you have so much success now with the move to the Midwest, riding in and around Kentucky and Oaklawn Park, and wishing nothing but success, not only this weekend with the Breeders' Cup, but going forward, my friend.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, jockey Joe Talamo. He rides Girl Daddy in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies on Friday. He rides Intimistic and Ivor in the Turf Sprint and Mile, respectively, on Saturday. And Jude, you know, Joe, we saw him have a lot of success in Southern California over the years. And with the horse population decreasing in Southern California and all the negativity that happened, especially the early part of last year out at Santa Anita, a lot of people exited. Joe Talamo was one of them. I think it has been just a phenomenal move for him business-wise. He sounds happy. He's winning a lot of races. He's on a lot of big horses. He had a great meet at Oaklawn. He's doing very well in Kentucky. I don't see why that should change.
Yeah, no, he's got the best personality. I remember back in the day when he was riding for Bobby Frankel at Fairgrounds, and he was a bug boy. He was 16. We had him on the radio, Mike and I, down there. It might have been Louisiana Derby week. I'm not sure. But an impressive human being. And I was so taken with his conversation that day, and I became an instant fan. And the guy's just got a lot of talent, and he's got a couple little boys now that are the apple of his eye, and he's just having a great life, and it couldn't happen to a better person.
Yeah, great guy. Wish him nothing but the best. Okay, we're going to take another break. When we come back, going to switch gears a little. We're going to speak with Walker Hancock. He's the president of Claiborne Farm. They've got stallions represented by several runners Friday and Saturday. You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on HRRN.
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince is the leading third crop sire by number of stakes winners, stakes horses, graded stakes winners, and graded stakes horses. He's also a top five general sire by the number of two-year-old winners so far in 2020. And his current crop of yearlings is his first conceived at a $25,000 stud fee. Yearlings from Cairo Prince's fourth crop sold for up to $400,000 this year, underlining his incredible commercial appeal. At $15,000 stands and nurses for 2021, Cairo Prince's value in the extreme, standing at Airdrie Stud. Think about it.
From a world-class team of equine industry leaders with international breadth that honors history, tradition, and the sport comes business advisory expertise providing strategic tax compliance and operational services with innovation and determined persistence. Located in the heart of horse country, Dean Dorton is revered for visionary guidance in equine accounting, tax, and business consulting. Dean Dorton, business advisors, CPAs, consultants. Visit DeanDorton.com for all your equine operation needs.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Hey, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Join me and Bobby Newman every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern for Race Day on HRRN. We'll bring you all the action from places like Belmont, Keeneland, Churchill, and Santa Anita, interviews with the biggest stars in thoroughbred racing, and follow the road to the Breeders' Cup right to Lexington on November 6th and 7th. Tune in on Sirius 219, XM 201, or stream Race Day live on your home for all of racing's biggest events at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to exclusive coverage of Breeders' Cup Challenge Day, presented by Breeders' Cup on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Zenyatta now hooking to the grandstand side, and Zenyatta is now coming with a run, looking at Lucky Flame. Flame on the inside, Flame gets the lead. Zenyatta on the outside, looking at Lucky Flame.
Trevor Deming on the call of the 2010 Breeders' Cup Classic, won by Blame. Welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown here on HRRN. Bobby Newman along with Jude Feld. And Jude, you could really hear the, I don't know if sadness is the right word, the disappointment in Trevor Denman's voice. You're not supposed to root for horses when you're calling the races. But it sounded like Trevor, and just like a lot of people, were rooting very hard for Zenyatta to get up and win the Breeders' Cup Classic that year. But you know what? Not everybody was rooting for Zenyatta that year. And our next guest can be counted in that not everybody category. We welcome Walker Hancock, the president of Claiborne Farm, where Blame stands as a stallion these days. Walker, welcome to the Breeders' Cup Countdown.
No, thank you guys for having me on.
Really appreciate it. Well, that was just 10 years ago, and Blame holding on in a fantastic renewal of the Breeders' Cup, giving Zenyatta her only defeat of her storied career. Can't believe it's been 10 years since that race. Blame, one of the tremendous stallions you have there on the roster at Claiborne Farm, and not unusual for Claiborne to be represented all over the board with Breeders' Cup runners this year, just like every other year. Stallions represented by three runners on Friday, including Plum Alley in the Juvenile Fillies Turf. Stallions represented by five runners on Saturday, including War of Will in the Dirt Mile and Halliday in the Mile. Let's start with Friday, Walker, and Plum Alley specifically, a daughter of First Samurai, who stands for $15,000 at Claiborne Farm. She is undefeated this far. How exciting is it at having the stallion, sire of Plum Alley, to see how a filly like this is doing going into these Breeders' Cup races?
Yeah, you know, it's really exciting. You know, she's out of a stroll mare, too, which we obviously campaigned and had as a stallion at the farm for a bit. And, you know, my uncle bred her. So it's kind of keeping it all in the family here, and it's we'll be pulling for her. And, you know, if she were able to win, who knows, maybe she could be a champion two-year-old filly. I know it's on the turf, but you never know. So we'll be cheering her home, and hopefully she'll have an emphatic victory and seal the deal.
She's been so impressive winning all the grass races she's been in, and 3 for 3. She has a great style in that she can lay close enough to be near the leaders, but she has a nice late kick. That's a potent combination in a grass race.
Yeah, you know, she looks like she's very versatile, has some tactical speed. So, you know, it looks like she'll get the trip, and she'll be running at the end of the race. I know she's doing well. They're very high on her.
Plum Alley, a daughter of First Samurai. You've got a couple of very good sons of the Super Stallion Warfront set to represent Claiborne, or at least somewhat carry the Claiborne colors, you know, stallion-wise, at least on Saturday. Halliday in the mile, War of Will in the dirt mile. Starting with Halliday, he's kind of come out of nowhere and shown up on the screens just this past year. He's got a lot of speed. He's very, very consistent. What are your impressions of Halliday going into this year's mile, and what does it mean to have a colt, you know, a son of the Super Stallion Warfront doing so well?
Yeah, you know, Warfront, I think he's got 5 Breeders' Cup starters, which ranks him in second, tied for second most of any stallion. So, but no, Halliday, he's got plenty of speed. He should get a firm turf course on Saturday, hopefully. I was talking to the guys at Keeneland this morning. They said they think it's going to dry out even more and be close to firm. And you know, he'll be on the lead and, the turn for home, if he can just hold him off, you know, it's very exciting, and hopefully Warfront can get a couple, more Breeders' Cup, winners this, year.
He's got the right rider too in, Luis Saez, who, is aggressive and great on the lead. So that's, a feather in his cap as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's a great rider, and, he'll ride him to the finish. So we'll be cheering for him.
Speaking with Walker Hancock, the president of Claiborne Farm, you can get all the information about their stallions and anything involved with Claiborne right on their website, claibornefarm.com. And speaking of what's going on stallion-wise, War of Will, not only is he by Warfront, not only has he already won a classic race in the Grade 1 Preakness last year, but he's trying to win a Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile this year, and he is set to join the stallion roster at Claiborne next year. I noticed on the website, Walker, that his price is listed as TBA. So my question is, how important is a race like the Breeders' Cup? If he were to win the race on Saturday, how important is that in determining what his initial stud fee might be?
Yeah, look, obviously we've had a lot of interest in him so far, but if he wins a Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, they'll surely skyrocket. So, you know, we're holding out for a victory. You know, he's a Grade 1 winner already this year on the turf, and if we just felt like if he could become a Grade 1 winner on dirt this year to cap off his 4-year-old campaign, then, you know, he'd be a very sought-after stallion. And we're excited to give him a shot and see what he can do. I think he's drawn well, and he'll show a good account of himself.
I got a couple questions for you. First of all, you mentioned the turf. Warfront's been that kind of a sire too. Some horses prefer the dirt, some horses prefer the turf. His horses seem to go both ways. How important is that when you're booking mares?
You know, he kind of started out as a dirt sire. A lot of his early success, the runners were on the dirt. And then obviously he became very popular, and a lot of them went over to Europe and had a lot of success there as well. So he kind of got this turf stigma. But then, you know, last year he had Omaha Beach on the dirt, and he had War of Will win the Preakness. He kind of reminded everyone that he can get a top quality dirt horse as well.
So, yeah. when you go to acquire a horse like him for your stallion roster, is that like a farm team sort of? You've got the dad, so you want to get the son to fill in the blanks. You know, down the road, are you looking at it that way, or is it just each individual horse?
Well, it depends on the horse, but look, we've obviously, Warfront's been meant a lot to us in the farm, and we've been looking for a son to maybe fill that void as he's gotten a little older. So we think we found it. War of Will, obviously, it's Grade 1 place at 2 and classic winner at 3 on dirt, and now a Grade 1 winner at 4 on the turf. So we feel like he has all the qualities you look for. He's got a great pedigree, and he's a gorgeous horse. So we're very excited to bring him to the farm, and hopefully he'll cap off his great career with a victory here on Saturday.
Walker, before we let you go, Claiborne is a farm that, you know, not only is known for breeding great runners and having great stallions, but you guys own some horses and some have owned some really good ones over the years from time to time. How do you decide on what horses you want to still maintain part ownership in?
Yeah, it's kind of a case-by-case basis. You know, like a horse like Blame, we retained our interest in him, but a horse, say, like Lee, who went to stud, we felt like we needed to get some more breeders involved, so we syndicated him. So it's really a horse case-by-case basis. You know, obviously we'll keep all of our fillies owned 100%, but the stallions is a little different game sometimes.
You know, Anthony Stabile and I, who host the Race Day Show regularly on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday afternoons here on HRRN, had a little discussion about the Claiborne history a few months ago, and we were trying to come up with really good horses that Claiborne owned that had more than one syllable or one word names. We came up with 49er, but other than 49er, who are we forgetting? Because we're having a hard time remembering any of them that don't have just one word names.
Round Table, maybe. You can go back in history, but you have to go a long way. We're kind of synonymous for our one word simple names, and you know, Lure, Blame, Elate, Lee, you know, Lull. So those are the ones, and you know, here recently. But yeah, maybe Round Table would be another one. But the other one's kind of escaped my mind right now.
All right, see, you just made me feel a lot better, because if you would have mentioned somebody that was a Breeders' Cup winner or a Grade 1 winner in the last 20 years that I had just forgotten, we would have felt very bad. But not remembering the name Roundtable, that is not one that really would have jumped out to me. I don't know how old you think we are. I actually never got to see Roundtable race. Obviously, we've seen his races on YouTube and those fun replays. But Jude, I feel a little bit better about this now. We came up with 49er. That's the only one, it sounds like, in our lifetimes, that's more than one word name for Claiborne that's gone on to great success. And Walker, we really wish you the best of luck, not only this Friday and Saturday with all the progeny of the Claiborne Stallions, but going forward. And just great job as always, and really looking forward to seeing how War of Will does in the second part of his career.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, we're excited for Saturday. We raised 3 Breeders' Cup horses this year, so we have plenty to root for.
Walker Hancock, the president of Claiborne Farm. You can see all about what Claiborne's got going on right on their website. Very easy. ClaiborneFarm.com. That's spelled ClaiborneFarm.com. And they've got their stallion roster right there front and center on the website. And Jude, really a who's who. We mentioned Blame. We mentioned Warfront, who's a super sire. Run Happy, I think, is relocating to Claiborne Farm next year. Orb, War of Will, Lee, Mastery, Demachele, Flatter, Catholic Boy, Algorithms. A great stallion roster at Claiborne Farm, and boy, are their runners easily recognizable.
Yeah, it's a tremendous history there. I remember the first time I went there was 1978, and I got to see Secretariat, and he was down relaxing under a tree, and he saw me standing by the fence, and he came running up. It was like the thrill of a lifetime, and I started picking up grass and pulling it out and feeding it to him. And I will never forget that as long as I live. It was just a tremendous experience. And they've raised so many great horses over the years at Claiborne Farm. And they've been in business for over 100 years and just phenomenal. Really, really great organization.
We're going to take another break. When Jude and I come back on the Breeders' Cup Countdown, you know, we haven't had a chance to do any little handicapping and analysis of what we've seen thus far, looking forward to the 2 days. And we'll pick each other's brain and see what our thoughts are for these 14 championship races, or at least, you know, initial thoughts of how we may attack the cards on Friday and Saturday. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
An undefeated graded stakes winner on the track, Algorithms has sired over 70% winners from starters.
His top runners include multiple stakes winner and Grade 3 victor Recruiting Ready, multiple stakes winner and graded stakes performer Taylor Spirit, and juvenile stakes winner South Bend. In the Pennsylvania Derby, Algorithms notched his first Grade 1 winner with a thrilling victory by Matt Wizard. In the ring, his juvenile sold up to $275,000. Algorithms, standing at Claiborne Farm.
On Sunday, November 8th, after the Breeders' Cup, Fasig Tipton will offer a catalog of exceptional quality, all in one spectacular session. A night of stars, featuring champions, Breeders' Cup winners, classic winners, leading race fillies, world-class broodmares, and selected weanlings. Nearly 50 graded stakes winners and producers catalog, no less than 26 of which are Grade 1. The world's premier breeding stock event, the November Sale, November 8th in Lexington, Kentucky. With online bidding available, where will you be?
Two-year-old Arazi journeyed across the pond from France and came to the 1991 Breeders' Cup Juvenile at Churchill Downs, boasting a stellar record of 6 wins from 7 lifetime starts, including 3 consecutive victories over France's highest level of competition. Sent off as a slight favorite over the speedy, undefeated Californian Bertrando, Arazi got off to a tardy beginning and found himself lagging far behind in the early going, and the stage was set for one of the most scintillating performances in the history of the Breeders' Cup.
Bertrando stunned at the inside with the move here of Arazi. He's pouring it on. Just incredible move as they come to the top of the stretch by 4 now. And then it's Bertrando, who is now a discouraged second farther back. It is snappy landing, and they're coming down to the finish here. Here indeed is a superstar. Arazi, absolutely brilliant. He was taken under a hard hold to win it here by 5, and he could have won by 10, perhaps.
Arazi had blown past his competition as if they were standing still, and his stunning move to win the 1991 Breeders' Cup Juvenile remains a most memorable moment in Breeders' Cup history.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to exclusive coverage of Breeders' Cup Challenge Day, presented by Breeders' Cup on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Big Stone looking for a big run now, and he's threading his way through between horses. But Lore looking for a repeat win in the mile. The leader a length and a half with a furlong from the line. Ski Paradise is resurgent again. 4 stars all-star. Big Stone is flattened out, and they're coming down to the line, and it will be Lore once again, overcoming trouble on the first turn, and he goes on to a clear-cut and decisive repeat victory in the mile. And Mike Smith is pumped up, and why not? He does it again with Lore.
Jockey Mike Smith pumped up. Announcer Tom Durkin pumped up with the 1993 Breeders' Cup Mile, won impressively by Lure. Speaking of Claiborne Farm, part owners of Lure, who won in 92 at Gulfstream, 93 at Santa Anita. Welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network. And welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown here on HRRN, part of WinStar Week all week long here on the network. Bobby Newman along with Jude Feld. Jude, we've got a little bit of time now in this segment to kind of go over a few of the races we haven't talked about that much. Maybe not necessarily how we're going to play the races, but, you know, ones we haven't talked about. And one specifically is the $4 million Breeders' Cup Turf. Now, our good friend Anthony Stabile and I have spoken about this race at great length and how poorly our opinions have been over the years in Breeders' Cup history when it comes to the Breeders' Cup Turf. We're looking at the list of past champions. I'm hard-pressed to find horses that I actually liked who won this race. I hope you've had better success than me, my friend. And once again this year, to me, it looks like just a head-spinning type of puzzle when you look at the turf. There are no standout head-and-shoulders, clear-cut horses to beat. A lot of really, really talented runners, starting with the morning line favorite, the 5-year-old mare Magical, was actually coming off a defeat last time out on soft-going at Ascot. Supposedly, that's not her best footing, and she'll appreciate the firmer turf on Saturday.
Yeah, well, she's very talented, obviously. I mean, she's made $5 million, and that is pretty much all you need to know about Magical. She runs hard every time she runs. She's always right there. Ryan Moore, the stable jockey for Coolmore / Aiden O'Brien, and, you know, she's going to be very tough to beat. I think she's one of the absolute top contenders. I like an Irish filly called Tarnawa, who's got a lot of talent. She's been running very well. She's won her last three starts. Dermot Weld trains her. He's one of the great trainers in Europe. And this daughter of Charmadol is really, really good. I mean, if you watch her races, she's got a tremendous turn of foot, and Christophe Soumillon's riding her. Lots of things to like about her, but, you know, it's a wide-open race. And then those are just two European horses. You got United, who's had a great year for Mandela. What's he won, 4 out of 5 or something like that? And the interesting horse to me was Arklow, because there was an interview that Caton did with Brad Cox the other day, and she asked him flat out what horse he had that was training the best into the Breeders' Cup, and he said it was Arklow. And he could have pushed Caton over with a feather, and I'm sure a lot of other people too, because Brad Cox is loaded for Breeders' Cup weekend, and Arklow was not the horse everybody was expecting him to mention, but that meant a lot to me. Trainer interviews are something that I really pay a lot of attention to, and trainers speak as interesting sometimes, and so Arklow is going to be on all my tickets.
So do you think there was any tongue-in-cheek in that, because Arklow is ridden by Florent Giroux. Florent Giroux is represented by Caton Bradar's husband, Doug Bradar, excuse me.
No, I don't think so at all.
Do you think he's pulling her leg at all, or are you just telling her what she wants to hear?
No, I don't think any of that. I mean, if you saw the interview, I didn't find it that way. I thought the way that he described how Arklow was doing is that's probably what he believes, and that's pretty good information.
It is good information. Arklow 5-1 on the morning line, coming off a nice win at Kentucky Downs in his last race, defeating Red Knight and Zulu Alpha. Surprisingly, a race that we have not talked about a lot yet in the first day and a half is the Breeders' Cup Distaff, and maybe the most anticipated horse versus horse showdown that we have on the weekend. Swiss Skydiver, the brilliant 3-year-old filly, Monomoy Girl, the champion 5-year-old mare. Those two in a matchup that we've been hoping for. We didn't know for sure that we were going to get it until basically this past Saturday or Sunday. Trainer Kenny McPeak, who conditioned Swiss Skydiver, he and the owners, Swiss Skydiver, were at least toying around with the thought of trying the boys in the $6 million Breeders' Cup Classic, but they've decided to stick with the girls in the Distaff, and we're going to get to see Monomoy Girl against Swiss Skydiver and some other very, very nice fillies and mares in there. What are your opinions of that race? How do you like these two superstars coming into the big showdown?
Well, I think it's a great matchup. I mean, it's very similar to the Beholder Songbird matchup of yesteryear, so to speak. But Monomoy Girl, I think, is one of the all-time great fillies or mares. You know, and I'm old enough now to have seen a lot of them run. But Monomoy Girl, she just is overwhelming. And the fact that she beat Midnight Bisou like a drum a gazillion times, it seems like, speaks volumes to her ability and class. And I mean, she's just super, super tough. Swiss Skydiver has really come on this year. She's a beast of a filly, great looking, super talented. She's got speed. She can finish. She's kind of a throwback kind of a filly, and she's run a bunch of times, and Kenny McPeak says she eats as good as him, Dale Romans, and me put together. So, you know, she's always in her tub and doing well. I think that's a great matchup. I'm really looking forward to that race. It's going to be outstanding, and I really can't see anybody else winning if either one of those fillies run their race.
Yeah, I actually think Horologist has a little bit of an upset chance if she runs her absolute best race, but really looking forward to Swiss Skydiver and Monomoy Girl. Hopefully they both get good trips and both run well. Interesting, Monomoy Girl, the three biggest races of her career, she has drawn the extreme outside gate, and I think that may help her chances as well. She was on the 14 hole when she won the Kentucky Oaks back in 2018, came from just off the pace to win by a half a length that day. When she won the Breeders' Cup Distaff in 2018, she was in the 11 hole in an 11-horse field, tracked the pace, and won by a length. I would think that she's going to get the same kind of trip on Saturday where, you know, she doesn't have to worry about anybody crossing over from her outside. She can just break and go. Worst things worst, you know, she may get caught, you know, three, I guess four wide possibly if everyone decides to go, get caught a little wide into the turn. But she doesn't seem to mind losing ground in that first turn. I think she likes being in the clear and tracking from the outside.
Yeah, and she's just so good. I mean, she's just better than most of the horses that she runs against. So if she loses a little ground, probably not that big of a deal. You know, it's better to be in the clear than bottled up and get shut off or whatever. So, you know, when you're riding a short price favorite in a stakes race, the best place to be is outside.
Another race that we haven't touched on a lot yet is the Breeders' Cup Sprint. Boy, you would think when you lose a champion like Mattoli that Steve Asmussen and the Heilig Broats lost after he won the Breeders' Cup Sprint last year and he was retired to stud duty, you'd think, well, I mean, you can't keep going. What's the likelihood you're going to come back with those kind of runners? Well, I'm not sure he's got Mattoli this year. But for a while, you know, he had Volatile. Volatile was the leader in the division who got hurt a few months ago. And now he's got Yalpin. And Yalpin, owned by the Heilig Broats, strained by Steve Asmussen, going to be ridden by Joel Rosario. Yalpin is undefeated, 4-for-4, coming into the Breeders' Cup Sprint. He's never faced a field nearly this strong thus far. But boy, he's been impressive, hasn't he?
Absolutely. He's got the best Brisnet pace and speed figures in the field. Not by a huge margin, but by a decent margin. He's an amazing horse, and Steve Asmussen himself has compared him to Mattoli in that he said, you know, who would have thought the Heilig Broats would have Mattoli and then come back the next year with a horse like Yalpin? I mean, just he's a fantastic animal, and I think he's got a big, big chance to win the sprint. You know, CZ Rocket's in there. He's really turned into a win machine for Pete Miller. And Diamond Oops has been super impressive on turf and dirt. He's good at the right time. I mean, he couldn't be doing any better. So, I mean, those three horses are the horses that I like in that race. But Yalpin, I think he's going to be very hard to catch.
And aside from those three, the morning line favorite is actually number 14, Vekoma. There's no doubt about it. If Vekoma runs the kind of race he did in either the Grade 1 Carter or the Grade 1 Met Mile, he's probably the one to beat in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. But things have not gone perfectly for Vekoma since we saw him on the 4th of July in the Met Mile. He had a little bit of an injury. He's come back, supposedly doing very well for trainer George Weaver. He's got a couple of bullet workouts in October up on the training track at Saratoga. I like that he's drawn on the outside. He can be in the clear outside of other runners. But the question remains, what kind of race will you get off this five-month layoff for Vekoma? Will he come back as strong as when we last saw him, or will he be a touch below that? Will he need the race to really fire his best shot? I don't think he can win if he needs the race, But if he fires a big shot, Vekoma certainly going to be very, very tough. Another very intriguing renewal of the Breeders' Cup Sprint and a full field of 14 set to go to post. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to hit the phones once again. We'll speak with Peter Miller. He's got three runners in this year's Breeders' Cup races. You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on HRRN.
Constitution is best up-and-coming sire.
He's beautiful. He's well-balanced.
He's throwing classic-type horses and horses that can go on to be stallions.
This horse has a chance to be very important.
There's really nothing not to be excited about. He's done everything right so far.
He's going to have a big career as a sire, even much better than he did it as a racehorse.
Whether it be long, short, grass, dirt, they can do it all.
He's over-delivered as much as any horse that I've seen.
He's really a dream of a stallion.
Standing at Windstar Farm.
What do these Breeders' Cup starters have in common? Swiss Skydiver, Tom's Daytaw, By My Standards, Serengeti Empress, CC, Improbable, Frank's Roquette, Ollie's Candy, Venetian Harbor, CZ Rocket, and Pirate's Punch. They all started at Oaklawn in 2020. Make plans now to join us for the richest winter race meet in the country from January 22nd to May 1st. Stall applications are now available at oaklawn.com. Oaklawn, a new level of racing.
Bolt Doro, America's fastest multiple Grade 1 winning juvenile since Uncle Mo. Bolt Doro scored dominating victories in the Grade 1 Del Mar Futurity and Grade 1 Frontrunner Stakes, earning a 103 buyer speed figure, the fastest by a two-year-old since 2014.
We're witnessing the emergence of a star as Bolt Doro treats his rivals to a comprehensive walloping in the frontrunner.
Bolt Doro's first weanlings are electric. Look for them next week at Keeneland and Fasig Tipton. Bolt Doro, standing at Spendthrift Farm.
HRRN is your exclusive radio home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Tune in Friday, November 6th, beginning at 2:30 p.m. Eastern, and Saturday, November 7th, beginning at noon Eastern, as we bring you live coverage of every race on the Breeders' Cup card. The Breeders' Cup World Championships, only on HRRN. Tune in on Sirius 219 XM 201 or streaming live on our website at horseracingradio.net.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to exclusive coverage of Breeders' Cup Challenge Day, presented by Breeders' Cup on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
21.98, a blistering opening quarter mile. Richard's Boy is second to the outside. Bucaro follows in third. Regular Elia is fourth right now, and she's four lengths off the lead. Starby Liberal cuts the corner, and Marcia moves up alongside of Lady Aurelia, and she's putting in her run now as they come to the final furlong. Pure Sensation. Here's Richard's Boy to the outside, and now moving up quickly is Starby Liberal, who's right up alongside, and now the Peter Miller horses 1-2. Richard's Boy, Starby Liberal get it inside, and they're going to hit it together. Starby Liberal ran down Richard's Boy. The stablemates were 1-2. Disco Partner came on late and finished third in a final time of 56.12 seconds.
Stretch run of the 2017 Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint won by Starby Liberal, trained by Peter Miller. He actually finished 1-2. In the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. Not only won the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint that year, won the sprint with Roy H. And if that wasn't good enough, Jude came back in 2018 and won both those races again with those same horses, Starby Liberal and Roy H. Welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown here on HRRN, part of Windstar Week, all week here on the network. Bobby Newman and Jude Feld efforting to get Peter Miller on the line now. Before we do, though, boy, you know, I know that you're friends with Peter Miller. You've known Pete for a long, long time, Jude. I mean, that's just unbelievable to have 2 years in a row with horses like that, winning races like that. You just don't see that. And, you know, Peter Miller, they show him on TV after he wins those races. He looks like a kid in a candy store, jumping up and down and screaming. You know, it's not the old, you know, three-piece suit and a tie with a nice smile and a tip of a cap, like, you know, you imagine the guys from the 1920s and the 1930s, you know, the hoi polloi of racing in the sport of kings. Peter Miller genuinely excited and showing his emotions for everyone to see.
Yeah, I know. Pete's a great guy. I've known him since he was maybe 5 or 6 years old. I trained for his stepfather, Gary Hallman, who was a tremendous man, a very good mentor to me. And I've known Pete a long time, and certainly it brings a smile to my face every time he wins one of these big races. He worked for me. He started out as a groom. He became my assistant. He went to the Illinois Derby for me. We were in Richard Hazelton's barn, Scott Hazelton's dad, and Richard, one of the great American trainers, and he called me one day. He goes, "That guy you sent, he makes me nervous." I go, "What do you mean he makes you nervous?" He says, "Well, you know, he worries a lot." I said, "Yeah, Pete's very conscientious. He's a guy that takes his job seriously." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, I don't know. He needs to calm down." I said, "Don't worry, Pete's fine. Don't worry about Pete." And Pete, he's intense. He loves the game. He's loved the game since he was a little kid. I mean, you know, horse racing has been his life, and like it's been my life. And so it's not surprising that he does so well.
Well, we're pleased to be joined now by trainer Peter Miller. Pete, welcome to the Breeders' Cup Countdown here on HRRN.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Glad to be here.
Pete, I don't know how much of that you heard, but if you haven't already hired Jude as your agent, I think you're doing yourself a disservice.
He was one of my first bosses and a great mentor, and I agree with most everything he said. You know, I could make coffee nervous. You know, I worry about everything, and I'm overly competitive, and actually a Hall of Fame trainer who will go unnamed told me a few years ago. He said, "You know, your problem is you're too competitive." And you know, he was right, and I never thought about that you can actually be too competitive, and I am too competitive, and it's a detriment sometimes.
Do you have to fight that impulse sometimes?
Like I'm trying.
You're trying.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm trying, but it comes from, you know, deep down within, and it's very difficult to put a governor on it. But it was some good advice, and I took it to heart. And I never considered that you could actually be too competitive, but you definitely can.
Pete, when we came back from break, we got to hear the stretch run of the 2017 Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint won by Stormy Liberal. You actually finished 1-2, hit the exacta in that race, and then came back a few hours later and won the sprint with Roy H. and decided that wasn't good enough and sent him out back in 2018. Both Stormy Liberal and Roy H. duplicated their efforts and won again. Take us back, though, to 2017 and that huge day. First time winning with Stormy Liberal, first time winning with Roy H. And the emotions and the nervousness, you know, going into those races and then when they cross the finish line.
You know, it's indescribable. You know, as Jude said, I've been doing this since I was a kid, grew up around it. You know, my family was, you know, involved in the business. And so to win a Breeders' Cup race, let alone two Breeders' Cup races at my home racetrack, Del Mar, I live about 10 minutes from there, was an unbelievable day, and a day that I will never forget.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it's just like surreal. I mean, watching you do it.
Absolutely.
It was so much fun watching you do it. I mean, you know, because I've known you, I said 5 or 6. I don't know how old you were.
Right around there.
Yeah. And you know, you're...
No, it absolutely was surreal. It was like a dream. It was like I was living a dream, and I don't even remember, what exactly transpired. I just know that there was a feeling of elation that I've never felt before in my life.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You know, one of the ones that I'll never forget was Belvoir Bay in the turf sprint. That was just an amazing performance, and have to say I bet a few shekels that day.
Nice. Yeah, that was very emotional as well. They're all emotional for their own reasons, and but that was a very emotional win to Gary Barber. Has been, my biggest client really since I came back to training. I took a break for a while, and he's really been my biggest supporter, and just a great guy and a great family man, and has been so loyal and supportive of me and my family. So to win a Breeders' Cup for Gary Barber with Belvoir Bay, one of my all-time favorites, a filly against the boys, and, you know, shocked the world again for a third year in a row, was another, you know, indescribable kind of cloud nine feeling.
Speaking with Peter Miller, trainer of three Breeders' Cup runners this year, Abico in the Juvenile Turf, Texas Wedge in the Turf Sprint, and CZ Rocket in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. And I want to talk about CZ Rocket because, wow, what a claim this one has turned out to be. You and the owners claim this horse out of a $40,000 race at Oaklawn Park in April. And since you've had him, he's done nothing but win. 5 for 5. Under your tutelage, he won a $50,000 claimer at Churchill. He won an allowance race at Churchill. He won a high-level allowance race at Keeneland. He wins the Grade 2 Pat O'Brien at Del Mar and wins the Grade 2 Santa Anita Sprint Championship last time out at Santa Anita. He could actually be favored in this year's Breeders' Cup Sprint. That is just amazing. What is it that you saw in him back in April to want to claim him, and what has changed to turn him into, you know, one of the favorites for the Breeders' Cup this year?
Well, you know, the owner actually picked him out to claim. His form was a little too bad for me to claim, to pick, but the owner, Tom Cagle, picked him and said, you know, this horse has some really fast sheet numbers back in the day, and, you know, let's look at him. And, you know, I do like to claim old class horses with talent, because if they had talent, at least you got a shot to get them back to that. And so we claimed him, and he didn't run very well, and he bled. And we just assumed that the reason for his poor performance had been bleeding. So, you know, I've got a program for bleeders that works very well for us, and we put him on the program, and it worked, and cut him back to sprints, and he regained his old, you know, 2-year-old, 3-year-old form, and you know, kind of got his confidence back. We ran him, we claimed him for 40, we ran him for 50, he won. We jumped him to 62.5, he won. Ran him in an allowance race, and he won, and then on to stake. So I think he's just kind of gotten his swagger back, and, you know, he's a very, very talented horse, and, you know, we're excited about Saturday, and we've got a couple of new owners that joined before the Santa Anita Sprint Championship, Gary Barber, my buddy from Belvoir Bay, and Saul Kuhman of Matacat joined on the ownership group, and you know, it'd be a real thrill to win for those two, and Tom Cagle, you know, with a $40,000 claim would be Stormy Liberal relived.
There's something about those old horses when they get to feeling good. And you mentioned the word swagger, which is a great word. They kind of blow themselves up and like, listen, I'm tough. I might be old, but I'm still really good. They have that attitude about them. You can't replace that.
No, you're right. It's it's like the first time you asked a girl to go out and she said yes. You know, you walked away from there thinking, "Wow, I'm okay." And so, you know, he's got his swagger on, you know, it's a tough field, and you know we're going to have to work out a trip from the two hole. You know, we've got Luis Saez, one of the best riders in the world, and you know we're confident. You know, the horse is going to run another big race, and if we can get the trip, I think has a huge chance to win.
Pete, we really appreciate you taking the time with us this morning. Your busy schedule. Wish you the best of luck, not only this weekend in the Breeders' Cup, but going forward. And on a personal note, I am a huge Mo Forza fan. So disappointing that he couldn't make it to the Breeders' Cup, but really looking forward to seeing him next year.
Yeah, thank you both. I really appreciate it. Yeah, this game is gut-wrenching, and, you know, you have to have a short memory. But, yeah, Mo Forza, I really believe he's the best turf miler in the world. And it's unfortunate we're not going to get a show at this year, but hopefully next year at Del Mar we can be there.
Thanks so much, Pete. Really appreciate it. Have a great day.
Anytime, guys. Thank you, and you do the same, and all the best.
This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Adina Spring Stallion Mucho Macho Man. Tough, sound, durable. A stakes winner at 3, 4, 5, and 6 who competed in all three Triple Crown races before turning 3 years old and capped a stellar career with a determined victory in the Breeders' Cup Classic over champions Will Take Charge and Declaration of War.
Mucho Macho Man has the lead close to home. Mucho Macho Man, Declaration of War. Will Take Charge, a final man. Mucho Macho Man.
Mucho Macho Man has produced 2 first crop grade 1 winners, one on dirt.
Mucho Gusto in the Pegasus World Cup. He won it by 5 lengths.
And one on turf.
And the California bred Mucho Unusual all the way in the Rodeo Drive.
The number one North American sire by 2020 average earnings per runner is Mucho Macho Man, standing at Adina Springs.
The championship season returns to Gulfstream Park this December. Thoroughbred stakes action returns with the claiming crown, the Fort Lauderdale, the Grade 1 $3 million Pegasus World Cup, the Fountain of Youth Stakes, the Grade 1 Florida Derby, and much, much more. Stay in on the action from the comfort of your mobile phone with the First Bet app, the official app of Gulfstream Park. First Bet offers AI-predicted picks, high-definition live stream races, replays, and live betting from the palm of your hand.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Get in-depth handicapping advice on the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts, every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern. Anthony Stabile and Bobby Newman look forward to all of the weekend's biggest stakes races and break down each one with expert analysis. Get a jump on the competition with the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts, Fridays at 6 on Sirius 219, XM 201, or streaming at horseracingradio.com.
Yo guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And Ali Sheba continues to pick him up on the outside with a dramatic run toward the leaders. They are at the corner pole here at Hollywood Park. And it is Joe Gentile on the outside. Can he go toward the rail? Ferdinand and Ali Sheba coming on from the outside. Good command is in behind horses. They're less than a furlong out. Joe Gentile did that, but Ferdinand right there. Ali Sheba on the outside. On the outside, Ali Sheba. Ferdinand has the lead. Ali Sheba, a final charge. The two Derby winners hit the wire together.
Tom Durkin on the call of the 1987 Breeders' Cup Classic. Ferdinand and Ali Sheba came down to the wire side by side, and it was Ferdinand, Bill Shoemaker, getting the nod. My favorite race call of all time. Welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown here on HRRN, Bobby Newman and Jude Feld. Jude, I know you remember that race. That was a heck of a finish in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Yeah, it sure was. But Ferdinand, he was kind of my boy. You know, I loved Ferdinand, and I loved that whole situation because years before Mary Florsheim Jones, she owned my favorite horse when I was a kid, Cougar the Second, and she kicked Bill Shoemaker off a Cougar for Lafitte Pinkeye, said he was too old, and that was like, 15 years or something before he won that particular Kentucky Derby with Ferdinand, so he kind of showed her the headline when Cougar ran with Pink Eye was Mary Jones gives Shoe the boot, and Shoe came back and won that Kentucky Derby for Charlie Whittingham from the rail. Horses never win from the rail, all that stuff. Just phenomenal. And Ferdinand, he was a tremendous racehorse, and I'll never forget that day.
Tremendous call also by Tom Durkin. Once again, it is WinStar Week all week long here on the network. We're celebrating everything WinStar Farm related. You can check out their stallion roster online at winstarfarm.com. And not only do they have tremendous stallions like Constitution and Painter and More Than Ready and Distorted Humor, Spitestown, three of this year's Breeders' Cup Classic runners, Improbable, Tom's D'Etat, Global Campaign, all set to enter stud duty for the year 2021 at WinStar Farm. They have a lot going on. We'll actually speak to the president of WinStar Farm tomorrow on the program. Also, racing, the excitement doesn't end this Saturday at Keeneland. Not too far away. The very next day, Phasic Tipton will be having their November sale, the world's premier breeding stock event. Nine of the runners in this year's Breeders' Cup races will be up for sale as part of that November sale at Phasic Tipton. In the Midst of Biz, Sally's Curlin, Got Stormy, Intimistic, Rushing Fall, Valiant's Point of Honor, Monomoy Girl, and Uni, all available for purchasing. You can see all of the great, the huge catalog that Phasic Tipton has. It's online. You can actually watch the sale on their website as well. Should be a lot of fun. Begins 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. We've got a full week here on the network after the Breeders' Cup Countdown today. Race day, Anthony Stabile and myself from 3 to 6 p.m., followed by Trainer Talk presented by Phasic Tipton, 6 to 7 tonight. Our final Breeders' Cup Countdown show, Jude and I will be back tomorrow morning from 8 to 10 a.m., then race day tomorrow from 3 to 6, followed by the Brisnet Call-In Show, Anthony Stabile and Ed DeRosa, 6 to 7 p.m. Friday is Future Stars Friday, the Breeders' Cup World Championships. You can hear all the action live right here on the network from 2:30 to 5:30 Eastern Time, and then a special 90-minute edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts from 5:30 to 7 p.m. on Friday. Saturday, the show that launched the network, the Equine Forum, 8 to 10 a.m., and then all of the Breeders' Cup action live right here on HRRN, starting at noon and going until 5:30 p.m. HRRN, truly your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. We're going to take another break. When we come back in our final segment, we'll catch up with Acacia Courtney. She is the eyes and ears for HRRN on the grounds at Keeneland, and no doubt about it, she has seen a lot of action already this morning. We'll hear everything she's got to say. You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on HRRN.
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince is the leading third-crop sire by number of stakes winners, stakes horses, graded stakes winners, and graded stakes horses. He's also a top-five general sire by the number of two-year-old winners so far in 2020. And his current crop of yearlings is his first conceived at a $25,000 stud fee. Yearlings from Cairo Prince's fourth crop sold for up to $400,000 this year, underlining his incredible commercial appeal. At $15,000 stands and nurses for 2021, Cairo Prince's value in the extreme, standing at Airdrie Stud. Think about it.
From a world-class team of equine industry leaders with international breadth that honors history, tradition, and the sport comes business advisory expertise providing strategic tax compliance and operational services with innovation and determined persistence. Located in the heart of horse country, Dean Dorton is revered for visionary guidance in equine accounting, tax, and business consulting. Dean Dorton, business advisors, CPAs, consultants. Visit DeanDorton.com for all your equine operation needs.
Thursday evenings, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, is the Briznet.com call-in show. It's your chance to call in and let the Horse Racing Radio Nation know what's on your mind. Call us at 888-966-HRRN and discuss the topics you choose in the world of thoroughbred racing. The Briznet.com call-in show, every Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, on Sirius 219 and XM 201, or streaming live online at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Shug McGahee, and I really enjoy listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They're coming to the top of the stretch now. Niccolo Polo on the outside. Simply Majestic toward the rail. Those two are head-to-head. And here comes the French filly, Miesque, charging hard on the outside. Steinlin is now fourth. And now they're down to the final furlong. Miesque is charging hard to take the lead now. She's looking for back-to-back wins in the Breeders' Cup mile. And she's leading by 3 and 4. Get on. Pulling away impressively here. Miesque has won it. Oh, Miesque, what a filly. And Freddie Head does it again. Absolutely sensational. He knew he had a tremendous filly underneath him. He wasn't concerned early. And she gunned down this international field in the stretch.
Tom Durkin on the call of the 1988 Breeders' Cup Mile, won very impressively by the French filly Miesque, her second consecutive win in the Breeders' Cup Mile as she won at Hollywood Park the previous year, 1987. Welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown here on HRRN. Bobby Newman and Jude Feld, pleased to be joined shortly by Acacia Courtney. Acacia, our eyes and ears on the ground at Keeneland. We're going to be speaking to Acacia, and she's on the line right now. Acacia, another cool day in Lexington, but not quite as cold as yesterday.
No, it's getting progressively warmer, Bobby, which is good news. Is it's supposed to be mid-60s, even close to 70 on Friday and Saturday, which is exciting. So looking forward to that. But I was out here about 6:30 this morning before the sun came up, and that's when you really feel the cold weather before that you get some sunshine to help it out. But bright and sunny now. Again, luckily, zero rain in the forecast. It's just going to be gorgeous all week and getting a chance to see some horses out on the turf right now working.
How does the course look?
It looks in great condition. I think that it is still a touch soft given the rain that was here in Kentucky last week. And it's just that time of year, too, where you really feel like it doesn't quite dry out as well, given the fact that there just is a little bit more moisture in the air and it's cooler. But it looks like the horses are getting over it pretty well. There is still some give in it, I think, for sure. But I think come race time, it'll be a little bit more on the good side, the firm perhaps. But I think it's drying out quite nicely, and it's not going to be any sort of soft give where you might see some horses kind of kicking up some claws. Currently actually watching Glass Slippers going over the turf right now, and she's really kind of skipping over it, which is nice to see.
Well, speaking of the turf races and specifically the overseas runners, this is one of the first times that you really get a good look at some of these European invaders and invaders from other parts overseas. Give us a few ideas of some of the horses you've seen, the two-year-olds, the older horses who are going to take part in these races that are going to be running here in America for the first time.
Well, it was a fun morning because, as you said, I'm not as familiar with some of the two-year-olds that are, or even any of the European horses coming here. Obviously, you watch replays, and working on Fox Sports, I've gotten to cover some of the big race days like British Champions and Irish Champions days. But getting a chance to see them in person, you really learn a lot, I think. So on the training track this morning at Keeneland, spent the morning out there and getting to see some of the Euros and a couple of two-year-olds to mention. In the juvenile fillies turf, Miss Amulet, the Irish bred coming out of second in Group 1 at Newmarket last time, and she's stretching out in distance. It was fun getting to see her because a lot of these European horses tend to just be so much of a lighter frame than many of the American horses that are suited here. Oftentimes in Europe, they will be dealing with much softer going, softer turf courses. And you find that the lighter frame types tend to kind of, again, skip over that turf a little bit better. Miss Amulet, she is very small. She doesn't look like there's much more growing to do. And she was just full of herself this morning. I also thought it was interesting. She did a pretty routine gallop, but she trains in what's something called draw reins, where it's the reins are attached underneath to the girth, and it keeps the head frame, keeps the head down, and often can be a good tool for a very difficult horse and one that's really fighting. And just seeing her for the first time, I could understand why they were using that on her and keeping her head down, keeping her in a little bit more of a frame. We saw Always Dreaming after he won the Kentucky Derby using draw reins before the Preakness because he was being so difficult and hard to handle. It can kind of keep a horse a little bit more contained. So even though she's very small, she was just raring to go, looking to do a lot more. Also got to see, as far as the two-year-olds do go, the Learjet, who famously beat Golden Pal in the Norfolk at a Royal Ascot meeting. He'll be stretching out in the juvenile turf, and while the pedigree is sprint, seeing him in the flesh, he looks like a sprinter as well. So I'm a bit dubious about him stretching out in distance this weekend. A good-looking horse. I just would prefer him if he was going a bit shorter. But those are the two-year-old Europeans I got to see this morning.
You know, you're a horsewoman and an accomplished rider. Why is it that those little fillies are so tough? It seems.
Well, I think, like in humans as well, the fillies tend to just mature faster than the boys. That's why in two-year-olds you will see oftentimes, a lot more often I should say, especially here in America, you'll see two-year-old fillies facing the boys. And it's not really much of a difference at this stage of the game because they mature physically and also mentally faster. I also think that the fillies and mares, they tend to look after you a bit more, and I'm sure that you can resonate with this as well, Jude, and I've spoken to some riders about it. They really seem to be a lot more receptive, whereas sometimes the colts, their minds are elsewhere. They can be a little bit more difficult, a little bit more headstrong, and some of the fillies can be very headstrong as well. But in herd mentality, looking at nature, it's a mare that's the leader of the herd, and I just think that dominant presence you see a lot in those fillies, even if they're small, they're going to be really tough. They'll look after you too, and they tend to have so much more grit. I think that's why you see the likes of Uni, who won the Breeders' Cup Mile last year. She's so small, but she's so tough in beating the boys too. But I always find it really interesting, and I agree. I think some of the small fillies are the toughest ones.
Yeah, that's amazing. Because you wouldn't think draw reins on a little filly right. Like that would be necessary, right? But they're the ones that need them the most. It's crazy sometimes.
Speaking with our good friend Acacia Courtney, who is live on the grounds at Keeneland. Acacia, you mentioned you saw some of the Euro two-year-olds this morning. How about some of the horses taking place in the Saturday races, specifically the Breeders' Cup Turf?
That is a very, very tough race and competitive race as well. So looking forward to seeing that. I saw Ternawa, who is a filly, taking on the boys, and Lord North, both of them going out this morning in the Breeders' Cup Turf. And again, I think that's a just major highlight in looking forward to that. Of course, it is the race right before the Classic. And Ternawa, a filly that's coming off the back of three straight wins, two of them Group 1 for Dermot Weld. She is a much stockier type of filly. I mentioned those European horses that tend to have a smaller type of fill to them, whereas she just, there's a lot of substance to her, which I thought was really interesting. She was also really sharp on the track going out this morning. Just looked, again, like she was really handling herself really well. And I know that she won last time out on heavy going, but she also won a mile and a half on firm turf. And she just looked like the type that would really kind of navigate this Keeneland turf course really well. A four-year-old filly that looked older. She certainly had that kind of lighter turf frame to her, but she looked older, and it was cool getting to see her. Also saw some of the John Gosden ones out. Lord Norris, of course, one of his, and he comes out of a disappointing effort in the Champion Stakes last time out at Ascot, and I think that was a case of the ground being really, really soft last time. And watching them train, John Gosden had a couple of his horses out, and unfortunately he hasn't made the trip to the Breeders' Cup this year. But the Europeans train in a different manner than the American horses do. In America, you also see often see them with company or kind of close up together or a solo type of gallop. These horses were kind of strung out one by one, about five lengths in between them, Lord North leading the pack, and he looked like he was very much enjoying himself here. He was very kind of on the muscle, into the bridle, leading his stablemates behind him. And it was exciting getting to see him because he's really striking out there in the track, and he struck me as the type of horse that would appreciate the firm ground here. And I think that's a big reason as to why they brought him here to the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, he's a very good horse. He has like a 127 Racing Post rating, and there's lots of things to like about him. John Gosden being one of those things. I mean, John Gosden is just an amazing trainer and a great, great guy. I mean, there's nobody like John Gosden, and he doesn't bring horses over here for the free turf club lunch. I mean, he's a guy that's deadly serious about winning Breeders' Cup races, and if he's got one in, you have to respect it.
I could not agree more. I got to know him a little bit when he brought Golden Horn over the last time we were here at Keeneland and got to interview him, and I was kind of in awe, you know, just a name like that and a person with so many credentials. And hearing the insight from him was fascinating, the way that he looks at a horse, the way he thinks about a race and everything, and clearly came with intent. And Frankie Dettori will be aboard Lord North, and I was wondering kind of what to do with him. And then after seeing him this morning, he really caught my eye and makes me really intrigued for this weekend.
Acacia, a couple quick things before we let you go. Race that Jude and I haven't gotten to talk about that much, the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf, Rushing Fall, she's a horse for course there. But Mean Mary has really built an impressive resume this year. She trains normally at Fair Hill, a training center. Have you seen her out on the grounds this morning?
I did see her out this morning with Graham Motion, and getting a chance to see how she was training. And I spoke to Graham, and he said that she's coming in fantastic shape off of a defeat behind Rushing Fall, but going what was arguably not her best distance. And the Filly and Mare Turf this year is 1 3/16. And he said, you know, I really wish it was 1 1/4 because that's really Mean Mary's best distance. She's a very big, solid filly, and she has such a kind of extended stride to her. And I think while she has a lot of early speed, as does Rushing Fall, the distance is much more in her wheelhouse as far as Mean Mary goes. And, of course, Graham Motion second, I think it was, five times in the Diana, had another heartbreaking defeat, but she ran her heart out that day, and he's really excited to get her going a longer distance. And she just really, once again, as I saw her when she kind of made her coming out party in the La Proviant down in Florida this winter, she's continued to just fill into herself beautifully, carrying great weight and condition, what you really want to see in a week like this.
And finally, Acacia, the 1-2 finishers in this year's Kentucky Derby, Authentic Tis the Law, have they been on the track this morning?
Yes, Tis the Law. Might have seen some stories about it. He has added, Barclay Pegg has opted to add a lip cord to him in his training in the morning because he's been so aggressive. And what that is it goes kind of underneath the lip across the inside of the mouth and can help to kind of keep a horse from pulling on his rider, from being too aggressive in the morning. As I kind of mentioned yesterday, looking at him on track, he's the kind of horse that you almost have to keep off balance, keep distracted while he's out in the morning because he always wants to do more. And apparently this minor equipment change, which if you look really closely at his bridle, at his equipment, you can see it in any of the pictures, has helped to keep him a little bit more contained in the morning. Also saw Authentic out on track this morning. my first time seeing him in person since the Preakness, where I got to see him actually quite a lot. And he went out with the pony like he did at Preakness. And speaking to Bob Baffert, he says he's just as crazy as he always is, but he's a very difficult horse, as you might have noticed from how he kind of took out half the winner's circle after the Kentucky Derby. But he said he's, once he gets out there and he trains, he kind of does everything so straightforward. And once again, looks like his exercise rider was getting an arm workout and containing him. So both of these horses, the 1-2 finishers, looking like they're coming in with a full tank for the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Acacia, thanks so much for everything this morning. Looking forward to speaking with you once again tomorrow at about 9:40 a.m.
Absolutely. Thanks so much as always, guys.
This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
In 1993, Dr. John West showed that EIPH occurs during exercise when blood vessels in the lungs rupture. This is due to stress caused by high blood pressure on the inside of the vessels and strong suction forces on the outside. Only flare strips and Lasix, used together or alone, have been clinically proven to reduce EIPH. Lasix works by reducing the high internal pressures, and flare strips work by reducing the suction forces on the outside. See the science at flarestrips.com.
Eclipse champion Blame. Ranked among the top stallions of his crop, Blame has sired over 60 stakes horses. His recent top performers include Grade 1 Arkansas Derby winner Nadal, graded stakes winner Blame Debbie, and these graded stakes performers. Outstanding value, outstanding results. Blame, standing at Claiborne Farm.
There's a corner of Kentucky in Bourbon County, which some refer to as the Promised Land. There's something in the soil and water that make it something special. So special that some of the world's greatest horsemen have staked their claim in the soil just outside of Paris. Iconic names such as Claiborne, Coolmore, Stone, and Darley grace the fence lines which have housed champions for generations. The name Alapa shines as a tribute to the Gilded Age, sharing the stature and grandeur of its neighbors. Born from the wealth, passion, and imagination of Edward Sims, no expense was spared to fulfill his vision. Sims was in the same league as John Madden and Arthur B. Hancock Sr. as a commercial breeder. The torch has been passed. Welcome to Hill and Dale at Alapa.
On Sunday, November 8th, after the Breeders' Cup, Fasig Tipton will offer a catalog of exceptional quality all in one spectacular session. A night of stars featuring champions, Breeders' Cup winners, classic winners, leading race fillies, world-class broodmares, and selected weanlings. Nearly 50 graded stakes winners and producers catalog, no less than 26 of which are Grade 1. The world's premier breeding stock event, the November Sale, November 8th in Lexington, Kentucky. With online bidding available, where will you be?
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
When a horse breathes in during exercise, a strong suction force is exerted on the outer walls of the fragile pulmonary capillaries. Think of it like a vacuum cleaner in the air sacs of the lungs, pulling on the outside walls of the capillaries. This, combined with high blood pressures inside the capillaries, causes the capillaries to rupture, resulting in EIPH. By reducing resistance when breathing in, flare strips turn down the suction on the vacuum cleaner in the lungs to reduce EIPH. See the evidence at flarestrips.com.
This is Wesley Ward. I'm the Conqueror of Royal Ascot. I listen to HRN.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Here, Wesley Ward. He will join us tomorrow morning on the Breeders' Cup Countdown. Boy, these first two shows have flown by. Our final Breeders' Cup Countdown show tomorrow, 8 to 10, right here on the same stations. Wesley Ward, he's got 11. Does he have 11? No, he has 13, I believe, runners four, seven, eight, nine. No, but he has 11 runners in the Breeders' Cup this year, all of them two-year-olds running on Friday. Aaron Wellman, the president of Eclipse Thoroughbred Partners, will be joining us. They're represented by six runners in the Breeders' Cup. Elliot Walden, the president of Windstar Farm, will join us as well. We've been chronicling the what's going on at Windstar. It's been Windstar Week all week and continues here on the network. Max Hodge from Phasic Tipton will join us tomorrow. Acacia Courtney, jockey Flavian Pratt will also join us on the program tomorrow. For Jude Feld, producer Lee Delapina, I'm Bobby Newman. Thanks for joining us. Have a great afternoon.